slip you an ambient. Welcome to Cosmos FM 91.5 WNYE. This is Dr. Dean, and we are talking teeth. Hope everybody's doing well. New York Giants, go New York Giants. It's going to be a wonderful Super Bowl weekend. Thank you for joining us again. With me today is my very good friend, the beautiful, the elegant, the unbelievably reliable, Pam Stern. Welcome, Pam.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Superwoman, you sure are.
Thank you, Dr.
Also
Dean.
With us, my assistant, John Kim. Thank you, John, for coming down. And Ioana behind the desk over there, doing all her work. This is a live show, 718-204-8900. We'd love to have your questions. Our topic for today is, what do we do with our parents' teeth? Geriatric dentistry, patients over 65, and how we take care of them. You can call in with your questions at Cosmos FM, 718-204-8900. Or you can email your questions to drdeanradio@gmail.com. If you missed our previous shows, they're all on the iTunes podcast. Type in Talking Teeth or Dr. Dean Vafiatis, and you can download all our shows for free. Or you can go to the website, www.nysi.org, and click on Listen button, and then you can hear all the shows that are up there. Today we're talking about our parents' teeth. What I realized over the last 4 years, my parents, thank God, are alive, and they're living in Tampa, Mary and Nick. And, you know, I realized that it's an important topic of how we take care of our parents' teeth. The decision-making for keeping their teeth rather than extracting them, the decision-making of how we stop the cavities if they do have teeth, how do we deal with the periodontal disease that for a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old may not affect their health that much, but in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the periodontal disease does cause enormous amount of damage to the bloodstream and to the blood vessels because of the bacterial level and their lack of ability to fight off diseases. If the patient has dentures, if one of your patients may have dentures, uppers or lowers, or removable partial dentures, you know, partially removed teeth, how do we make a decision of whether they need implants or not? And on a daily basis, we have this question coming up with our patients where they bring in their parents. And the question is always asked to me, Dr. Dean, should I put implants in my mother's teeth? Is she too old? So let's establish that for the denture patients and for implants. In terms of a healthy, stable individual, the years of their life, in terms of 80s, even 90s, we do place implants in them if they're obviously healthy. And there are benefits for that. For the patients that I see that are more difficult to treat are the patient that has limited dexterity or limited resources to get to the office, whether they're in a wheelchair, whether they have trouble walking, to get them to the office is probably the biggest difficulty. So, and then when they want to go to their favorite dentist, now they can't because they have to go somewhere where it's more localized. But the biggest difficulty for me was treating the patients in that age group that their teeth don't get cavities anymore, but their roots get cavities. So I've sort of categorized four different categories: patients with teeth that have root caries, patients with teeth that have periodontal disease and gum disease, patients without teeth that have dentures, and patients without teeth that have implants. So those are the four categories we're going to be talking about, and in relation and how they relate to the higher risk groups. We have the healthy patient that doesn't have anything wrong, it's pretty much stable. We have the patient that's on diabetes. We have the patient that has hypertension or high blood pressure. We have the patient, such as my father, who's in renal failure, so he's on dialysis. That causes a different slew of infections sometimes. And then we have the cancer-surviving patients. So these are the ones I've sort of categorized, and we'll talk of them specifically. But we have a couple of statistics from the CDC, which is the Center of Disease and Control and Prevention. Population of residents in the United States, over 65, we're talking about geriatric patients, geriatric dentistry, 38 million people over 65 years old.
Is 65 really geriatrics these days?
That's the way the insurance sort of bills them. So that's how that number came about. I believe, to me, in terms of my perception, more like 75. But on the insurance basis, on retirement ages and all that, it's basically 65.
We have an email here, Dr.
I have an email. Go ahead. What's your question?
Yes, we have an email from Natasha B.
Okay.
Are you ever too old for dental implants?
No, the answer is no. As long as you're healthy, even diabetic patients that are healthy and stable can get implants. Of course, as your diseases increase and your drugs, the medications that the patients take may have effect on implants as well. But that's got to be covered from the dentist and in conjunction with the medical doctor. But no, the age, there's no age limit in terms of implants. So continuing on the risk factors, the percentage of people over 65 who currently smoke is over 9%. So smokers actually have a higher risk of any kind of diseases than patients who don't smoke. So obviously smoking is not something we want to say it's okay. It's really not for many, many reasons.
It's a challenge even to get an implant, isn't it?
Yeah,
when you're a smoker, even if you're younger, right?
Well, it's definitely this definitely decreases the chances of success. But Pam, you had something on the nursing home care. What I realized is my parents, my mom had hip surgery. She was in the hospital of nursing home care for about 10 days. And one of the things I realized is that everybody in the nursing home did not have dental care. And as I asked the nurses, you know, are they getting dental treatment here? They've been here for sometimes 2 weeks or 3 weeks or sometimes even 4 weeks. And they're not getting dental care. So that was a concern for me because obviously the foods that they're feeding them are not the best in terms of vegetables. The vegetable diet doesn't really exist in a nursing home. It's mostly starches. They're trying to get more vitamins and minerals in the patient. So high content of starch and a low dental IQ can really do some damage to the patients when they're in the nursing home. So what was your percentages on that?
I have the number of nursing home residents age 65 and over is 1.3 million.
A lot of people.
A lot.
And the nursing home residents per 10,000 over 65 is over 363,000. So the point is that is just there's a lot of people in nursing care that are not getting dental. There are services provided by dental schools like NYU and Columbia that do have outreach programs. NYU has one that says Smiles on Wheels, and they will go to geriatric homes and nursing homes and do take care of their doctors that are actually devoted their entire life to treating the elderly, and I really commend them for
That's
their work.
That's wonderful.
Believe it or not, when I was in dental school on my fourth year, I actually spent 3 months in the geriatric program at NYU, and I got the award for treating geriatric patients.
Very nice.
So that's an interesting little fact.
Very nice.
You had something else, I think, on home health care?
Home health care. Current patients age 65 and over, 1.0 million.
Yeah, so in the health care, again, environment. And then the dental care for them, Pam?
Percent of non-institutionalized persons age 65 and over with a dental visit in the past year, 60%.
Which means 40% of those have not visited a dentist. So if you have a parent that has any major complications in their health, obviously the first thing you want to do is get them to a local dentist, do a full exam, do the radiograph, the x-rays. At this point, there's no damage for the x-rays in terms of the bone, so please take a full series of x-rays and let the doctor put together a plan for the patient and be able to sort of treat them. One of the things that we see is dry mouth, xerostomia, which decreases the salivary flow. Remember, saliva in your mouth decreases the amount of bacteria in your mouth. That's why they have some reports that chewing gum will decrease cavities, because chewing gum basically, you know, increases the rate of salivary flow and therefore will decrease the amount of bacteria on the physical tooth. So if patients, whether they're cancer survivors or have other medical medications that they're taking that will decrease their salivary flow, right away there's a direct correlation that they may get cavities on their roots of their teeth. If they don't have roots, obviously there's no factor affecting them. But if they do have any kind of teeth in their mouth, they will get a lot of increase on their root cavities. And again, those should be x-rayed really every 4 or 5 months, sometimes every, you know, a little bit sooner, but to really catch that before it becomes a big problem.
So, Dr. Dean, even patients that have dentures, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that their parents have dentures and they figure, oh, they don't have to go for a dental checkup. They probably don't go for years.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, my dad has dentures, uppers and lowers, and he's comfortable with them. But really, the real sort of standard is 7 to 10 years they should be replaced. Because there's constant pressure on the dentures and the bone, what happens to the bone after constant of, you know, having dentures for many years, the bone actually atrophies. It kind of wears away a little bit. And then the dentures get a little bit sloppy. They don't really fit. And then the facial aesthetics also close down. If you notice on the dollar bill, George Washington had dentures, and his lower jaw comes all the way out.
Very interesting.
So the lower jaw, if you look at it perceptually, mm-hmm. you'll see their lower jaw comes out. So if your parents looking a little bit sort of collapsed and they have a lot of wrinkles in their cheeks because of dentures, it may be time for a new set. So we always say that they go check those every 7 to 10 years and maybe get a new set.
But checkups while they have
if they have dentures, that's really the only checkups that they need.
That's it.
Yeah, you got to check them maybe every two or three years just to make sure
that
they're comfortable. Another interesting point of the denture patient, most dentists will tell the patient, take your dentures out at night. And that's the reason for that is we want to give the tissues a time to rebound back to their normal state. However, there's some people that if they take their dentures out, their jaw physically collapses, and that could hurt their jaw. So if anybody is complaining of pain at night in their jaw, it's okay to wear the denture at least 2 or 3 times a week while they're sleeping. On the other side, some people are worried that they may swallow them, so that's another reason that you may want to take them out. But if there's any sore spots, go to see the dentist. If your jaw's hurting, go to see the dentist. Get the examination to rule out that there's something worse than that. Changes that happen, this was a University of Missouri's Dental School had a study, and they had a whole listing of changes that happen in teeth and supporting structures in the elderly patients. So the chewing of the muscles obviously will decrease. The effectiveness of the muscles, the effectiveness of the teeth will decrease. And again, you're starting to see a slower metabolism of the food as the patients get older. So that was just one of the things that they reported. The rate of tooth decay may be increasing as we get older, especially, like I said, when the saliva is reduced. They had the same outcome. If you have teeth, there's always going to be a little recession. Recession means that the gums have been lifted up slowly over time, and again, the roots are exposed. So the enamel part of the tooth has a great resistance against bacteria. The root, however, has no resistance. It's a very, very soft part of the tooth. So a cavity can form within 3 or 4 weeks, whereas a cavity on enamel takes about a year to form. So that's the difference. The rate is much, much higher on the root cavities. For patients, we have some phone calls coming in. The patients who have teeth and have periodontal disease, or if you look at your parents' teeth and they're a little older and you take a look in their mouth, you could just by yourself just take a look. If you see swollen gums or red gums, they may not be complaining. That's just the funny thing. We see a lot of patients who come in for an examination, and I look inside and I see 2 or 3 infections.
Wow.
And I say to the patient, are you in pain? She's like, no. I feel fine. I don't feel anything. So the pain tolerance, this is another danger point for the elderly. The pain tolerance is so high, they don't feel it. So something that would hurt any of us at our midlife age or young age, like eating a candy may kind of give you a little sweet tooth and it kind of hurts a little bit, or drinking something cold. For the patients who have been living for many years, their sensitivity is reduced. So they don't feel an infection or a big cavity until it's way too late. So just by doing an examination yourself, looking at the gum line, looking if there's any red or bleeding, if you touch any tooth and it starts bleeding, you got to get your parents in. You got to get them in to do an exam.
So it's not normal when they're brushing if it's bleeding?
Well, brushing is kind of sometimes it does bleed, so I wouldn't say it's not normal. But pushing with your finger and you see blood, or just looking in their lips and looking inside and you see a lot of redness.
Right.
that could be a sign something's wrong. Again, they won't complain about it. And they say, right. And that here's another big part about our parents. Is you tell them they have to go in, and they're like, oh, I'm fine. I don't need to go in.
Right. They don't go in unless they're screaming pain.
It's the old school.
And then it's too late.
This is Cosmos FM 91.5 WNYE. We're talking teeth. We're talking about our parents. Please, if you have any questions, 718-204-8900. I want to have a shout-out to my friend Mike from the gym, and Artie and Manny. We see each other every morning, and they actually help me with my topics. They're very, very smart kids over there. And also, I want to have a shout-out to Michali Materis. He just turned 50 this week. We wish him all the best. I'm turning 50 this week, Pam. Not this week, Doc. This year. So
you're looking forward to it, aren't you?
Yeah, really. Yeah. It's going to be a great week.
Youngster.
So let me see. You have a question for us?
Yes, we have a question, and the question is from Christina.
Yes.
From Long Island. My father is a type 2 diabetic. He has dry mouth, and he has dental implants. How will this disease affect his teeth and dental implants?
Diabetic patients have a usual decreased sugar level, and therefore their healing is reduced. So if a diabetic gets a cut, they don't heal like me and you on their skin. Similarly, in the mouth, if they get a cut or a bruise or something irritates the teeth or the gums and starts bleeding, it doesn't heal as fast. So a typical food, if you're eating popcorn or bread or chips or anything that's kind of a little bit rough and jams into the tooth, for a regular patient, it'll bleed a little bit, you floss it, and it comes out. For a diabetic patient, it could be dangerous. So for those patients, they should be coming every 3 months to get dental examinations and making sure that there's not anything irritating their gums that could cause either the implant to fail. If there's a constant irritation, it may cause the implant to fail. If they're stable diabetic patients and their blood levels are very stable, this is no different than any other patient who is not diabetic. If they're unstable, a little bit overweight, and that changes their blood sugar, then they become very vulnerable to little insults and cuts to the gums that may cause a bigger problem down the road. I hope that answers your question, Christine.
Thank you, Christine.
Going on to that University of Missouri study, the brittleness and wearing of the teeth. The wearing of the teeth from age, we have some patients, 70s, 80s, they've never had a cavity. Helen's grandmother, God bless her soul, she was 86 years old when she died, never had a cavity.
Wow.
Never had a cavity.
Wow, I'm envious.
And if you're Greek and you're having...
They must have great fluoride over there or something.
And you're eating all the great Greek cookies. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did she not get a cavity?
I don't get it.
And she made the best pastries, too. Screwed up. Yeah, that's everything. So the wearing of the teeth, though, she's definitely had areas where she wore her teeth away, which is okay. It's better than not having your teeth, so I'd rather have worn teeth than not have it. So they become a little brittle. We may see some patients in those age groups that have chips or broken. Those are easily repaired. So those are the patients are easier to take care of. We're going to take a break. Okay, we're going to take a little break. Cosmos FM 91.5 WNYE. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes. And again, keep the phone ready, 718-204-8900. See you in a bit. Show me your teeth, Pam.
I have beautiful teeth, Dr. Dean.
Of course you do. Of course you do. This is Cosmos FM. I'm Dr. Dean Vafiatis talking about our parents' teeth as we get older.
Friends, relatives, neighbors.
Everybody. Everybody knows somebody who may need some help. So we're just trying to give you as many pointers as we can in this half hour. Let's go to oral cancer survivors and any kind of cancer survivors. Again, their big problem is they have a decrease of salivary flow. There's some salivary supplements that you can take that will increase salivary flow that are sold over the counter. We look at our cancer patients probably every 4 months, looking for root cavities, looking for any kind of other things that may show up in the mouth. Remember, oral cancer is probably the highest incidence of being detected faster than any other cancer in the body. We see things immediately. Another thing I wanted to mention, because I was writing it down as the break was here, for patients who don't know that they're diabetic, there is a percentage of patients who live their life, they're very comfortable, everything's good. When your dentist takes x-rays, and if you feel that if they tell you there's a lot of infections, let's say more than two or three at one given time, if you're having multiple root canals within a six-month period, that's a sign that your teeth, you may be diabetic. I've diagnosed two diabetic patients in my career that didn't know they had diabetes. And one of them was young, one of them was a little older. But if you're having more than one or two root canals within a six-month period, I would definitely check your blood levels with your doctor and make sure that you're not diabetic. The medications. The problem with our elderly patients is there's a lot of medications. So we do a full, thorough medical exam, even if they've been there 6 months later. We say, is there an update in your medical status? Some drugs will affect the gums directly.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Directly.
Right.
Meaning Coumadin. Coumadin's a big one. That if they're taking, I think it's more than 10 one or two, more than 2 milligrams per day, that will directly affect the gums. Now, so they have healthy teeth, but now their gums are constantly in an irritated state, which causes the bacteria in the mouth to get into the bloodstream. So you they need the Coumadin to keep them alive and keep their blood thin, but you have this other part that's kind of opening up some wounds in the mouth. So it's a real balancing act with the medications, and I take that very seriously when a patient comes in. I look at their medications, we look at it, and we give them the best advice, whether it's frequent cleanings, using something like the natural rinse that we've always talked about, natural rinse over the counter. It's called the Natural Dentist. Has all great herbs and effective treatment without alcohol. Any patient over 65 years old, I'll make an emphatic statement that any patient over 65 years old should not be using any rinse that has alcohol in it. The second thing I'll say is take a look at your rinses and make sure that they have fluoride. If you have teeth. If you don't have teeth, it's not going to matter. But if you have teeth, there should be a fluoride in the rinses. And now all the rinses have no alcohol and have fluoride over the counter. They've slowly started changing their formulas, even the big companies. But for me, it's the Natural Dentist. It's the best. If you have teeth, it's easy on the gums. And we really had a lot of success with our patients that were cancer patients, and they really did really well with this.
It's a great product.
So the drug therapy for Parkinson's disease, depression, any kind of hypertension drugs, those will affect the gums and will affect the areas where the teeth are. Improving dental hygiene. A lot of patients, they lose their dexterity. They may have rheumatoid arthritis. They may have problems with their hands, and they physically can't brush their teeth. A rotary toothbrush is the best thing because you just kind of hold it and brush a little bit longer than you used to when you were younger, because it'll just, again, take the debris off the teeth. One of the things I find with my patients bringing in their parents is they just physically can't get in there and brush their teeth because of whatever difficulty they have to pick up the toothbrush. So really using the rotary toothbrush is the best supplement for that, and just being really diligent in cleaning up the area. Sometimes if the child... if the sibling is there, they can do it for them because they physically can't do it themselves. So even brushing could become sometimes a difficult thing for some patients, especially if they're in the
That's true. That's very true.
The home care areas.
Right.
Flossing, obviously, we'd love them to floss, but if they can't brush, they're probably not flossing. You can do it for them. I did it for my mother when she was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and I just did it for her. I just kind of flossed it for her, got my gloves on, and I did it. Rinsing, like I said, is very important with decrease of salivary flow. So you can rinse 2 or 3 times a day if you have to, if you feel that your salivary flow is being reduced. A lot of our parents have glasses, and they can't see the labels too good. It's at night. It's dark. They don't know where their glasses are. And they're trying to rinse and trying to read what they're doing, and they can't. So that becomes a little bit of an issue when they can't see, and they're picking up the wrong toothbrush or the wrong rinse. So again, it's more of supervision for them to be able to do that. Or if you just get there the next day, at least do it once a day, at least that you know that it's getting done.
What about water picks, Dr. Dean?
Water picks are very helpful. A lot of our patients, even younger, older, I mean, a lot of them use it because it's easy. They just kind of, the water just flows around. Obviously, anytime you have water flowing around, you're decreasing the amount of particles and food particles and bacteria that are going to be on the teeth.
Right, that might be easier for older people to use.
Water pick is highly recommended. Mm-hmm. And we definitely use it. Interdental cleaners, you may see these things called proxy brushes or interdental toothpicks. Anything that can get between the teeth, a lot more effective for our older patients because they've had a little bit of gum loss and the brushes can't get through in between the teeth. Remember, as we lose a little bit of bone, a little bit of tissue, there's spaces that open up. Well, if the toothbrush can't get into the space, the roots are exposed. If the roots are exposed, then again, the root caries really become evident. So having the interdental cleaners is really something that we really prescribe for our patients. This is Dr. Dean Vafiatis, Cosmos FM 91.5. We're talking about our parents' teeth, geriatric situations, and how we can help them. Continuing on for our...
Moving on here.
Moving on, Pam. What's your next
topic? I was told to tell everybody that the dance is completely sold out.
Oh, the Tsiknopekti on mm-hmm. February 16th has been sold out.
Sold out.
Thank you for all your contributions and for your help, but there's no more availability.
No more availability.
It always sells out every year.
And our next show, which would be February 15th.
That's right after Valentine's Day.
After Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You picked a gory topic.
Well, maybe we have to change it.
We might. Forensic dentistry.
Well, I don't know if we want to talk about that. Let's talk about animals' teeth. Can we talk about animals' teeth instead? Let's change it. February 15th will be animals' teeth. It'll be right after Valentine's Day. I'll bring my heart T-shirt in and my heart tie.
Okay.
Just for you, Pam.
Okay.
And we'll bring chocolate, which is, we don't, you know, when we give chocolate, we don't really eat the chocolate.
Right, we never eat the chocolate.
We just give it away.
Right, we give it away.
And then we have like a
with toothbrushes, so they'll brush right after.
I can't tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how many times for Christmas I get chocolate. I don't get it. They bring the dentist chocolate.
Sometimes people think what you say you don't eat, you really want.
I don't want chocolate.
Right.
I have enough dental cavities. I don't want chocolate. But it's interesting when people... Wine is good. Wine is very good for your teeth.
Send wine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greek wine actually is very good also, but we'll talk about that another time. Let's go into the oral health. So people are living longer. They're living healthier lives. And this has been a big increase in the dental community. Because everybody's living longer, we have to take care of people as they're getting older. So the demand has been increased. If we look at our population 20 years ago in our dental office, it was between 20 and 40 years old. Today, my patient population is between 40 and 70, if not 80. We have a lot of patients over 70, and we really take care of them as if they were our own. And it really changes the way we approach each patient because of either their medications or their health condition. Another thing that happens when you get surgery or any kind of dental treatment, this is an issue that's been happening in the dental world. Let's say the patient's on Coumadin, and let's say they need to have the tooth extracted.
Yep, let's say they need an extraction.
We just had a patient 2 weeks ago. He says, I'm on heavy doses of Coumadin, but I got to get a tooth out.
Right.
So first thing I do is I call up the doctor. I find out the dosage, make sure it's okay. What we basically do is we do a little test run. We go to the tooth, we start looking at it and seeing if there's anything, if there's any blood coming out that we can sort of see if we can stop it. So we don't start the extraction. Another sort of a trick or suggestion would be to refer the patient to the oral surgeon. The oral surgeon is much more adapted if there's any kind of a dental emergency to be able to help the patient. So any kind of surgical procedure with a patient who's on Coumadin has to be very careful in terms of not allowing the patient to have too much blood, and then we have a problem.
Okay.
Right before we leave, before we say goodnight, just want to touch upon two types of patients. The women that are menopausal or postmenopausal, their estrogen level may be detected in their periodontal gums, in their gums. So a discussion with the doctor about the replacement of estrogen and if they have a supplement, if they need it. But you need to ask your doctor about that if it's safe for your situation. But that does have another bearing on.
That's a great topic in itself.
Yeah, that does have a big bearing on the gum. So okay. Anything women considering hormone replacement therapy should look at how it would affect their gums. And the other part was the osteoporosis patients who want implants. So just ask your doctor about these things. I hope I've given you enough information to ask the right questions. All of our patients are important, young and old, and I appreciate them, and they really become a big part of our practice. So,
okay, so I have something to say
yes,
here.
Go ahead.
What you may not realize is that oral health is not just important for maintaining a nice-looking smile and being able to eat. Good oral health is essential to the quality of life.
Exactly. Quality of life is what we want for our parents. This is Dr. Dean Vafiatis signing off. Cosmos FM 91.5. We'll talk to you again in about 2 weeks. God
bless.
Bye-bye.